Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. How are you? Hope you're well, hope everything is fine and dandy wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this. Thank you as ever for tuning in, and thank you for, I don't know what else for. I guess only thank you for tuning in, which is enough, is it not? I don't need to thank you for other things. Don't think so, anyway. I mean, I can if you want. If there's anybody out there who thinks that they should be thanked for something beyond listening or tuning in or downloading or streaming this podcast, please feel free to get in touch. And, you know, I'll consider it on a case-by-case basis. But the rest of you, wherever you are, I hope everything is well. We have an Arsecast this week because, well, there's Arsenal. Last week, there was no Arsenal. We had the Arsecast Extra on Monday, but because of the international break, because of the interlull, it was all a bit quiet. And because it was Easter weekend and bank holiday, holidays and all kinds of stuff. It was Good Friday last Friday, which wasn't a great Friday in general. It was a fairly mediocre Friday. Not that I'm trying to make a case here for the Advertising Standards Authority or anything. I'm just saying that it wasn't the best Friday ever. And part of that was because we didn't have any Arsenal the next day. But tomorrow we do have Arsenal the next day. If this is Friday when you're listening to this, or if you're listening to it on Saturday, it's today. And if you're listening to it after Friday or Saturday, well, you know, you need to quit living in the past, man. It's all done. It's all whatever. All the relevance of this particular podcast is now, it's gone. Shelf life of these sports podcasts, of course, is minimal. The minute the match takes place, it's all over and done with, really. And then you've got to wait for the next one when we talk about it. But look, the interlull was on, and in this side of the world, in this part of the world, there were a lot of international friendlies, which we view as annoying and frustrating and perhaps a little bit unnecessary. But I suppose with a European Championships coming up during the summer, managers want to play around, dicky around with their teams and, you know, see if they can work out formations and systems and things that work. But elsewhere in the world, there were international World Cup qualifiers. There were African Cup of Nations qualifiers. That's right, Alex Iwobi, who made his debut for Nigeria, played twice for them in the international break. Unfortunately for him and for Nigeria, he won't be going to the African Cup of Nations in 2017, next January and February. But from a purely Arsenal point of view, I guess we can be happy about it. Perhaps the many Nigerian Arsenal fans won't be that happy about it, but the rest of us, if Iwobi continues to make progress, will be glad that he won't be jetting off to play in a tournament in the middle of the season. However, Nigeria were playing Egypt, and Egypt put paid to Nigeria's chances of qualifying for the tournament, and that means Mohamed Elneny will be going to the African Cup of Nations in January and February next year. So that's something we're going to have to deal with. That was good for him. And what else happened? I don't know. Not much of any great consequence. Nothing that we should really be worrying about for this particular podcast during the interlull. Gary Shandling died. I don't know if that's a name that all of you would be familiar with, but he was a comedian and a really excellent comedian. He had a fantastic show called the Larry Sanders Show. He was a talk show host in it, and he did like stuff like talking to the camera and all that kind of thing. But it was brilliant, really kind of groundbreaking in terms of television comedy, and I was a big fan, and it was sad that he died. And if you're a fan of the Marc Maron podcast, WTF, you can hear an interview that he did with him back in 2011. It was well worth checking out because he's a very funny, very interesting guy. And I really liked this bit. As I was listening to it, it just sort of struck a chord with me in terms of, you know, life in general, life online, talking about football, talking about Arsenal, talking about everything. the clamour of noise, the clamour of content that's coming at us from all angles, in all kinds of different formats, on all our devices, that there's no escape from it, and people with opinions, always, always, always with opinions, and I don't know, sometimes the people with opinions are, they just want to make sure that you hear their opinion. You know what I mean? So I thought this bit was quite interesting.
Yeah. That there are moments on the Larry Sanders Show where it would just be you and Rip, standing there by a camera, watching something on the monitor, and then maybe looking away. But they would hold for like 20 seconds or 30 seconds.
Because the truth actually is in the silence.
That's right.
So we come back to the other problem in life is people are afraid to have a silent moment like that there. And in that silence right there is all the truth and all the wisdom in the world.
Yeah, I almost cried during those.
Sure, you got to stop fucking talking. Everybody's fucking talking, jumping up and giving their opinion too quickly.
Right.
I mean, you can't exist online or anything like that without that striking some sort of a chord with you, right? Because it's true. I'm part of that. I mean, I get that completely, that I write something every day about Arsenal. Well, most of the time it's about Arsenal. Most of the time. I think where I, take a break is during the interlulls where I can write stuff that isn't necessarily about Arsenal or tangentially about Arsenal or not about Arsenal at all. And that's where I get my sort of quiet moments. Those are my moments of silence. Those are my truths, I guess, in a weird way. But there you go. That was Gary Shandling. And you can check out the episode if you want. If you go to WTFpod.com and go to the episode list, it's one of the latest ones. It's been republished. I recommend it. Right. What else happened? Oh, I got an email from William Jones. William Jones took the time to email me, and I thank him very much indeed. Thank you, William. Dear Arseblog, he says, you are a cunt. Just wanted to let you know. Regards, William. Regards, I like it. No cheers, no up yours, no best wishes. Yours sincerely, yours faithfully. No, regards. Almost up there with best regards. Because when regards aren't enough, what do? You give your best regards. But it was nice of him to take the time to sit down at his computer. In fairness, could have done it on his phone. He could be bored on the bus or something like that. What'll I do? I think I'll email Arseblog and call him a cunt. No, tell him he is a cunt. Just in case I didn't know. I mean, I do wonder if he was, trying to do me a solid, do me a favor here. Perhaps William Jones has been wondering if I knew if I was a cunt or not. Maybe this has plagued him for days, weeks, months. Who knows? He must know. There's William sitting at home. He must know, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question. He knows. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, how could he not know? He seems pretty self-aware. He must know, yeah, yeah. But what if he doesn't? Jesus. That little voice in his head. What if he doesn't know? You should tell him. Tell him. Tell him. He needs to know. I mean, I think people would want to know if they were a cunt and didn't know about it. How are you supposed to change? How are you supposed to get better? How are you supposed to improve yourself in this world? It's not your job to help him improve, William. You're just a guy sitting on a bus or on the bog having a poo with your phone. You don't need to tell him. You've no responsibility to this man. Yeah, but I feel like he should know. I'm going to type that email. I'm going to do it. Don't do it, William. Don't do it. Leave it alone. What if he replies back? Says that you're a cunt and you didn't know that you were a cunt. But you know you're a cunt, William. Anyone that would send an email to another person to tell them that they're a cunt must be a cunt themselves. In the end, temptation was too much for William Jones. He had to do it. And I hope, if he's listening, which I assume he isn't, I hope he feels better. Because, I want the world to be a happier place for everyone. And if that means emailing me and telling me what I am, whether I know or not, then I'm okay with that. I'm happy to be the conduit for another person's happiness and mental well-being. So, cheers, William Jones. You're a pal. But, as they say, one man's meat is another man's poison. To each their own and a little of what you fancy. And all that kind of stuff. Can't please all of the people all of the time. A stitch in time gathers no moss. That's the one. That's the one that really sums up my life, let me tell you. So look, what's going to go on this particular podcast? I don't know, because you know what's happened is that I did have somebody lined up, and unfortunately, they couldn't do it. And then I got somebody else lined up to do it, and then at the last minute, they couldn't do it. Life gets in the way, and I'm not judging, I'm not being critical in any way. I'm just saying that, you know, the best laid plans of mice and well, I don't know, chinchillas is the best laid plans of mice and chinchillas. I don't know. So two people have pulled out, and my plans are awry. They're awry. But I'm scrabbling around, and I'll find somebody to talk to. I will. Because I'm recording this bit a little bit earlier. And then what I normally do is I sort of segue into the guest as if it was live. So I'll say, and now we're going to talk to blah, even though I might have recorded that at a completely different time. I'm giving away the secrets of the podcast here. I'm just saying that right now, I don't know what's going to happen. But we will look ahead to the game against Watford. Those pesky Watford guys, we're playing them at the weekend. And we'll look ahead to what's going to happen in the Premier League and what's going to happen in these last games. So maybe what we should do is just take a little bit of interlude music as if during this particular music I was out finding people to appear on the podcast. And when we come back, I should have some guests. I think that's a good idea. Let's do it. We're back, and I've got guests. That's right, guests. Yes, plural guests, not just one. I went out in the space of that piece of music and got two people to come in and talk about Arsenal and stuff and things. So let's get on with it. First up, from We Are the North Bank and North Bank Lore, it's James. Good evening to you.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And it's great to welcome back our old friend from Gunnarholic.com. It is Gunnarholic. Hello there.
Evening, blogs. Thanks for inviting me again.
My pleasure. Now, let's start, if we will. Sometimes there's a danger that things like this can get a little bit mawkish or over-sentimental or something like that. But I think the 15-year anniversary of the death of David Rowcastle deserves a mention on this podcast because what a fantastic player he was and what a brilliant man he was by every account that you read of him. Hard to believe that it's been 15 years, Hollick.
Yeah, it certainly is. I still remember the day of the Tottenham game as if it was yesterday, vividly. And I was sitting right next to the Tottenham supporters on that day, and fair play to them. They played their part in the minute's silence. And I think that was the measure of the respect to the man, even from across the other side of the divide, if you like. Everybody appreciated what he'd been through, what had brought about an end to his career, and what was a brilliant career as well, potentially, until his knees went. He was just a lovely guy, and I'm very lucky to sit a few seats away from his boy Ryan, who's a proper chip off the old block too.
That's good to know that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
That's right.
James, I mean, when we talk about him as a footballer, He was amazing to watch, and he was somebody who you could see easily fit into the modern day Arsenal. He was that good. He was that much of an athlete. He was that strong, so skillful as well. And if there is a regret, obviously, it's that the knee injuries that he endured really cut short what should have been a much, much more prolific career for Arsenal, leaving aside the other clubs that he represented.
Yeah, absolutely. David Rowcastle was one of my first Arsenal heroes, really. I kind of grew up during the George Graham era, just started to kind of go to Highbury around late 80s, early 90s, and he was just a huge fan's favourite. I think what really stands out about him from memories and on the anniversary of his passing, which is always clear, is the amount people talk about what a great guy he is, as Hollick just said there. But at the same time, anyone who played against him will say what a competitor he was. So I think that's you don't often hear that whilst you know, someone was such a dogged competitor on the pitch, they're also kind of the nicest person you'd meet off of it. I think that's quite rare that you kind of hear tales about that. And I think the other thing that really stood out about Rocky was, in terms of his playing style, was it was quite quite Brazilian almost in the way that he used to sort of get the ball and take defenders on for fun and with the stepovers. I mean, kids now talk about Ronaldo with the stepovers and him being the king of that. Well, really, in this country, I can't think of many other players before Rocky that used to do the kind of the step over and the double step over so often. And he really was a master of that. And also, I think what was unusual about him is kind of his build for a wide player. He was actually, you know, really, really, really strong, but at the same time being, you know, agile and quick and nimble and skillful. He really did have everything and had a good career at Arsenal. It's just a bit of a shame that kind of injuries put paid to that, and George Graham decided to kind of cash in on an offer when he did. But looking back, I mean, you only need to kind of look on YouTube and look at some of the footage of Rocastle and some of his kind of explosive play with a touch of finesse, you know, to really see what a great player he was. And I really would urge younger Gooners to really do a bit of digging around on YouTube if they haven't seen much of him, just to try and get an idea of what a real great player he was, and a true talent as well.
Dave, I mean, he was a guy as well that like us was an Arsenal fan. He was Arsenal through and through, and our friend Paul Davis on Twitter this evening is just saying that he's a classmate who lived next door to Rocky, and the story of him arriving home in tears the day he was told he was going to be sold was a real heartbreaker. And for all the incredible qualities that he had as a footballer and a man, he didn't really have any luck, because of the injuries that he had, and then obviously because of the illness that that cost him his life in the end. But at the bottom of it all, he was just a big, big Arsenal fan.
Yes, he was, and the bunch of them, really. You look at the South London boys, there was Mickey Thomas as well. You mentioned Paul Davis. Ian Wright may not have been an Arsenal fan as a boy, but he certainly became one when he turned up here. And I know that he and Rocky got on terrifically well. The biggest single compliment I could pay David Rocastle is that you could see him easily walking into the Arsenal side today, and he would fit an Arsene Wenger Arsenal team. He'd just be the perfect player.
I mean, that was the thing, wasn't it? The ability to put it about a bit as well. That strength that he had. Yeah. And it's not often that players have that they have this incredible skill and vision, the ability to finish, this relentless positivity. And you find sometimes that flair players are not necessarily the ones who get involved in the rough and tumble, but he was a guy who did that as well.
He was the first one to arrive if anything kicked off. You're absolutely right. Bless him.
Oh, well, look, 15 years and only 33 years of age. Very sad. And I think we should all just, sometimes it's worth stepping back and taking a moment to realise how lucky we are to be doing this. So
it was a big privilege to have seen him.
Absolutely. So, look, James, we've got Premier League football back this weekend after what has been a pretty long international break, or certainly it feels like a long international break. And the table is kind of mad when you look at it. Leicester City are 11 points ahead of us. They've got 7 games to play. We've got 8 games to play. So there is the possibility of getting 3 points back there. The way I look at it, and I don't know if you would agree or not, but Arsenal have to face these last 8 games as if a miracle might happen, as if something ridiculous and unexpected and ludicrous might happen to Leicester's form, that it goes through the toilet. And that's the way that they've got to approach these games, just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously we're praying that they drop points. I'm just looking at their fixtures now, and
they're quite friendly.
yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, I can see Spurs dropping points over the next few weeks. I mean, whether they've got sort of 4 out of the 5 next next games are pretty tough. I mean, you'd almost say it's as tough as they come. But in terms of Leicester, yeah, as you say, they do look pretty friendly. And the other thing, of course, is that they're not, you know, not in the FA Cup anymore. You know, they haven't played any European football all season. I think they got knocked out pretty early in the League Cup as well. So, you know, whilst he hasn't, he really sticks with the main core of the team. I don't think there's you know, any tired legs there. Also to factor in, I'm not sure how many internationals or how many players have had away on the international break, but you know, you could probably guarantee that it's not as many as we've had, for example. So I think that's a huge factor. The fact that these players are still pretty fresh at this time of the season, you know, compared to us, and you know, we're always sort of flagging really from injuries and hoping to get players back, but it does look too little too late, really. Unfortunately, we do kind of need a miracle, I think, as you say. I think that the Everton win was really encouraging. The injection of pace and extra spark up front with Welbeck and Iwobi is hopefully has rejuvenated us to go on a run, and we absolutely need that. I mean, I think, you know, if we're going to win it, we can't really afford to drop any points, I don't think, just looking at Leicester's fixtures.
No, we've got to win all our games. It's one game at a time territory for us, absolutely. Dave, just on the issue of fresh legs, obviously we've had injury problems and the squad has been stretched a bit at times throughout this season, but mentioning Danny Welbeck, mentioning Alex Iwobi, two guys who haven't really played a huge amount this season at all, that really does seem to have brought something into the forward line that not necessarily has been missing, but just maybe at this point of the season, adding something a bit different has made us a bit fresher and B, a bit less predictable as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with every word of that. I thought the last game against Everton, we were looking as good as we have done since October or something like that. And like you say, the fresh players, Iwobi, we saw in the FA Cup that he could play, that he could pass, that he could instigate things. And for him to add a goal to that as well up at Everton was great. And Danny Welbeck, he is different to Giroud. Giroud, I think, is still our most complete all-round centre-forward, but he's a tired, tired man. He looks a tired player at the moment, whereas Danny comes on, might not be as good with his back to goal as Giroud, but we don't need him in that when you've got Iwobi, who's able to put balls in between defenders rather than, hopefully, we're getting people wide and thumping balls into the middle. So, no, I think it's slightly changed the way that we play. The way that we looked against Everton is, let's face it, we've got to play like that for the rest of the season. You're quite right that we need to win all eight games. I think if we do win all eight, then we do stand a chance, because you look at Leicester's last two away games, are Manchester United and Chelsea. We would need them to slip up to one surprising defeat other than that. But I must admit, I'm quite confident they might lose three, but I'm not as confident we'll win eight.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where I stand on the thing. It seems inevitable, or it would be really surprising to me if Leicester didn't have some kind of wobble between now and the end of the season. They haven't really had one all season long. And even title-winning sides tend to have a little moment or two or a game or two that doesn't go their way. So it would be surprising to me if they didn't. The issue, of course, is whether or not we can win eight games in a row, and we haven't done that this season. I think the most in all competitions is five, and I don't know what our Premier League record is. It's certainly not eight. So that's the big challenge. James, I mean, does Iwobi keep his place for you? Because there are other players in this squad, more illustrious players, Theo Walcott, for example, Olivier Giroud, who could be accommodated at his expense, or you know, is it a case that he's come in, he's done well, he's brought something new to the side, and as such deserves to keep his place, that the manager is picking his team based on performance rather than hierarchy?
Yeah, no, get out. There's no way that Walcott or Giroud deserve to come in ahead of this lad, the way he's played and kind of taking his chance by the scruff of the neck. And that's really what you want to see. You want to see that almost, you know, passion and will to perform. I mean, I'm not saying that Walcott isn't trying or Giroud isn't trying. But it's in terms of application. And, you know, there's been many games where I don't think they've applied themselves well at all. Especially Theo kind of looks a little lost sometimes, and you almost want to shake him. in terms of Iwobi, I think he is a breath of fresh air, and it couldn't have come at a better time in the season. They've thought a lot of him, for the last 3 years and a few years, and wanted to kind of get him into the first team surroundings. That's why you haven't seen him go out on loan, because Wenger obviously really believes in his talent, and I think it's evident there. What seems to be most appealing to me is that he seems to like the teams at the right time quite a lot of the times. Whereas for Oxlade-Chamberlain is a perfect example. The amount of times he makes the wrong decision, and as fans you can see that, and you just think, why are you passing that inside, why don't you take him on, or why are you taking, you've already beat a defender, why don't you get the ball in, or his crossing's terrible, as it has been for most of the season. But in terms of Iwobi, he seems to not all the time, he does give the ball away, but he does seem to kind of know when to dribble and know when to release the ball or play one-touch football at the right times. And it's really pleasing to see as well as his strength. I mean, he really is a strong lad, isn't he? There's no way that any defenders are kind of, roughing him up, which is really good to see. And he seems to have a really level head on his shoulders as well.
I think what was a really interesting point for me was a couple of weeks ago, James from Gunnerblog were doing the Arsecast Extra. And he was talking about how the senior players in the side don't have any problem with giving him the ball. And you can see sometimes with certain players, or perhaps if certain players aren't in the form that they should be or playing as well as they should be, you can see them being ignored at times, where a player will say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pass it to him because I don't know where it's going to go when it ends up at his feet. But with Iwobi, there's real trust in him from these guys. And perhaps that comes from, obviously, the fact he's been training with them week in, week out. And he's been there on the training ground. They can see, obviously, that he's got the quality.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. And I think we saw the same last season with Bellerin. The players just weren't afraid to give him the ball at any opportunity, because they know that the quality is there and the confidence is there. These two lads have got real good heads on their shoulders, as I say, I keep going back to Oxlade-Chamberlain, but he's almost been the opposite over the last couple of seasons. He's gone backwards massively. I know injuries have played a part in that, but I find it quite strange, his decision making on the pitch at times, especially given that he's such an intelligent lad off the pitch. So I think in terms of Iwobi and Bellerin, they've just applied themselves brilliantly, and obviously the other players recognise that and know their quality, playing with them day in, day out, and aren't afraid to use them when the opportunity is there. So it's great to see. Just want to go back to, if I can really quickly, just go back to Leicester's fixtures. I think if there might be a wobble, it might be at the weekend. The only reason I say that is because Southampton are a bit of, you never know what Southampton team's almost going to turn up, especially away from home. Their away form is terrible before Christmas. But if you look at the away wins they've had, they beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge and United at Old Trafford. Okay, I know this season that may not be a huge feather in their cap. But
well, we couldn't do it.
Well, yeah, exactly that. And they also, I think they won at Swansea, which isn't, again, perhaps this season it's been a bit easier to play there, but it's not always the easiest place to go. I think, did they win at Stoke as well? I think they might have won at Stoke.
So, they're at home to Swansea, by the way.
Oh, they're at home. Sorry, it's the Stoke game I'm thinking of. So they beat Stoke away, which is, as we know, no mean feat. So I think if there might be a wobble, I'm praying that it might be at the weekend. Because after that, Sunderland away, okay, they're away, but Sunderland are pretty terrible, even though they're scrapping for points. And then West Ham, I suppose, might be a bit tricky at home, but Swansea at home, I think they'll win that comfortably. So, if there's going to be a wobble, I'm hoping it is this weekend, praying more.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed. And obviously the Sunderland game, which was all set up for Emmanuel Abue to score the winning goal against Leicester, okay, won't happen anymore, Holly, because he's not paying his agent. What a strange man he is.
Yeah, very odd. Very, very odd.
Yes, indeed. Well, I wasn't going to talk to you about Emmanuel Abue. We've been there, done that, and worn that particular T-shirt fucking far too many times.
But let's blew him off the podcast.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about the midfield partnership. Coquelin and Elneny, perhaps one that's been stumbled upon a little bit because of injuries, because of people who are absent. Ramsey's gone, Cazorla's out, Wilshere's out, obviously. Arteta, Flamini, all out. So the manager has had a little choice but to put the two of them together. But from what we saw at Everton, if we're going to talk about encouraging signs up front with Welbeck and Iwobi, then we've got to look at those two in the midfield as a duo that obviously we need to see a bit more of, but there's clearly some potential there.
Absolutely agree. And it was so needed by Francis Coquelin as well, because since he's come back, he'd looked as though he was struggling a little bit for confidence or just that little something. But it came flowing back into him. The two of them look very good. And I think what it is, Elneny is probably the closest player we've got, not in stature, but in style, to Santi Cazorla, because he does like to get the ball, quickly look up, play it forwards if he can. He doesn't mind getting bombing on to support the attack as well, but he'll get himself back. He doesn't mind doing his fair share of duties alongside Coquelin. So that does have a look at, brings a bit of balance to us, and I hope that stays. It's got to work for another few games yet, hasn't it? But the signs were at Everton very, very good indeed. I think that's another shrewd purchase.
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, obviously, he's going to be somebody that goes away next January, February for the African Cup of Nations. So we'll have to... I mean, midfield's an area of this team that really needs a rebuild come the summer in a big, big way. But yeah, I mean, perhaps, you know, we'll see... We're seeing the benefits of him coming in January. I think he was probably earmarked as a summer purchase. And he's getting these extra few months under his belt. So maybe for next season, you know, he's really well and truly bedded in.
And I think Elneny and Iwobi are definitely the start of that rebuilding. You have to look there and say, well, there's going to be no Rosicki or Arteta next season, surely.
Or Flamini,
those
probably.
Two replaced. And then I suppose you've got to go and look and say, well, if you get good money coming in for Jack, for example, with his ankle, do you take that and go and look for a replacement for him? Whether that's a step too far, I don't know. I would consider it myself, quite frankly.
Would you? Yeah. Do you think? I mean, do you think there'd be anybody out there who would take the risk based on what we would probably want for him as a player?
I think Manchester City probably might, because they're going to have to splash the cash big time this summer.
But I don't want Jack Wilshere going playing for Pep Guardiola and then being fit. I'm sorry, I can't fucking have that.
I think that's a gamble you take. I don't see Jack being fit for a season coming up, because you look, every time that we get him back out on the pitch, then teams take it in turns to rotationally foul him, always on that same ankle. He's going to face that problem for the rest of his career now, I think.
Well, I mean, look, I'm a big Wilshere fan, and I think
I love him as a player.
Yeah, I mean, my point on this would be, look, accept the fact that he is probably going to be injured quite a lot, and build your squad to accommodate that. And if he's fit and if he's around and if he can play, then this is a fantastic bonus. And if he doesn't play for another season next year, then maybe you consider what you're going to do with him for the future. James, what would your thoughts be on Wilshere in terms of keeping him or trying to move him on this summer? And then we'll talk about the injury thing a little.
No, I don't think they'll be looking to sell. I really don't.
No,
Binger loves him. I also don't think there'll be any shortage of takers, you know, because the quality, the class is there for all to see. I just think it's it really is a difficult one, because, like you say, if you keep him for another season and he plays only, I don't know, worst case scenario, sort of 10 games next season, that's a hell of a lot of money in wages to accommodate a player like that. When you think of Diaby as an example, and kind of the patience that was shown with him, many would argue wrongly, in terms of paying him extremely good money. I'm not saying Arsenal are short of money, don't get me wrong, but I think it is a balancing act. But at the same time, I don't think Arsenal would be you know, listening to any sort of offers for Jack at all. I think he's very much in a part of their plans. I also think that's one factor why you didn't see Arsenal go into the transfer market in the summer for a midfield player, because on paper, again, and he's probably alluded to this quite a lot during press conferences this season, our midfield was stacked in terms of numbers and in terms of quality. But if you take all of the factors into consideration, i.e. fitness, and the fact that you know, three of our midfield players were and are over the hill, they're the three that are going to be out of contract in the summer, Riziki, Arteta and Flamini, he really should have, you know, brought in, for example, El Nene in the summer. But I think a lot of that thinking was down to his school of thought that those three players would play a big part, maybe not one of them throughout the whole season, but I think he was definitely banking on getting at least 20 games out of Arteta, as an example.
Yeah.
Similar for Riziki. And then, of course, Jack. And, you know, that injury happening on the eve of the Charity Shield, you know, hugely in Wenger's plans, whether he would have, you know, played him in a more deeper role, as he does with England, I'm not so sure, because I think Wenger said many times he does prefer him in the final third and making things happen. But that definitely would have been a possibility if you think to, you know, Coquelin getting injured. If we'd have had a fit Jack Wilshere, he could quite have easily have slotted into that position and played a part alongside, you know, Flamini, for example, and that might have worked a lot better than, say, for example, when Ramsey was playing next to him. So injuries, again, have kind of, you know, scuppered us. But then, given our record, perhaps, you know, it really was negligence in the summer. But I'll say again that there weren't that many players out there that, you know, real top quality players that were gettable that could, you know, really make a huge difference in that position. I think it's the same with centre forward as well. You know, there's a dearth of world-class centre forwards as there is, I think, defensive midfielders that you could go out and purchase. But I mean, it looks like we're hopefully going to be doing business early in that position sooner rather than later, which is good.
Well,
in terms of Jack, that, you know, the plans were there for him to be a huge fundamental part of the team, and obviously injury has put pay to that again.
The injury we've got some good news with that, in the sense that Arsene Wenger said yesterday Wilshere and Riziki are back in full training, and talking about Wilshere playing in an under-21 game. He said, no, it's his first week back in full training. We'll see how he responds, but the first signs are quite good. We'll assess our options next week. It was touch and go for a little while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was. Jack Wilshere has been feeling discomfort in the area of the leg where there was he's had a plate inserted as part of the operation for the broken leg. They were concerned about that, even though after rumours kind of went around Twitter a few days back, one journalist in particular kind of tweeted straight away, but that was, you know, definitely would have had Mark Canella in his ear saying, can you please help us out and dumb this down? And, you know, and he would have been saying to the press and briefing the press that there was absolutely nothing wrong with Jack and he's on schedule. But there definitely was, you know, some issue there with the plate, and they knew that if that has to be operated on again, then that was definitely his season over. But it looks like, hopefully, touch wood, that isn't going to be the case, and if he can get through, you know, even if it's 45 minutes of an under-21 game soon, continue his fitness and training, and then hopefully we'll kind of see him off the bench before the end of the season. But it's a precarious one. It really is, just given Jack's history, the amount of football he's lost at a you know, really crucial part of his development, and also the toll that is taken on him.
Sure.
And as Hollick rightly said, you know, teams target those weak areas in players. They do, you know, they'll never admit to it, but they 100% do, especially when they're playing teams like Arsenal, and it's anything they can do to get some sort of advantage during a game.
Mm. Hollick, the other side of that, or the other person mentioned there, was Thomas Rosicki. And he's back in full training, and there were obviously real worries when he picked up the injury that he did, that it might be the end of his Arsenal career, because it was just so close to the end of the season, and he was so visibly distraught and so unhappy and so gutted about this injury, having spent the whole season out, coming back, doing something within 10 minutes of coming on, whatever it was. It's great that it looks like we'll be able to see him in red and white again before he leaves the club in the summer.
That would be absolutely fantastic, because I think he would get a tremendous reception from everybody at the club, because the player that he's been for us, and we've sorely missed him actually in the second half of this season, yeah, which is when we could have done with him driving us forward, because there's no one more energetic and more gifted like that in the side like that. So yes, let's hope we can get him back for at least the last home game and give him 90 minutes where we can show our appreciation for him.
So after the Leicester wobble, after they wobble right the fuck off the road, the final game of the season, Jack Wilshere sets up Thomas Rosicki for the winner to win the title. That's what we're saying here, gents. Is that it? Yeah? I have, yeah.
3 minutes into 3 minutes into four added minutes.
How much rum have you had tonight?
I'm just on my second beer. I know. I feel sheepish even saying it out loud. But look, gents, thanks a million for your company. I appreciate it, and we'll catch up to you soon.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much, Blogs, and thanks. See you again, James.
Cheers. Take care.
Thank you very much indeed to my guests. You can find them on their websites. James is wearethenorthbank.com and on Twitter at NorthbankLore. And Gunnar Hollick, it's GunnarHollick.com, and of course at TheGunnarHollick on Twitter at TheGunnarHollick. Skype was doing some weird stuff during that call. I apologize. Nothing I could do about it though, but it did this weird thing. I've never heard it do that before, where sometimes you get a little bit of a delay and stuff, but then it sped up their voices, right? Did you hear that too? Their voices got a little bit higher and higher, as if they were doing a bit of helium and what have you, but that was beyond my control. So apologies if there was any weirdness. There seemed to be a bit of sort of backwards time travel shit going on in there, but that's Skype, nothing to do with me. Right, we're going to look ahead to the Watford game in just a couple of moments' time, but first we've got a message from a brand new sponsor.
Working all day? No time to look after your pooch? He's down in the dumps. So bring him to Dog Yoga. That's right, Dog Yoga.
Dog Yoga.
It's the latest craze that's sweeping the nation. Your dog's already a natural. He can do downward facing dog, upward facing dog, licking his balls dog, licking his hole dog, the humper, the eat his own vomit, the bite the postman, the lotus dog, the barking lunatic, and many more. So if life is rough for your dog, namaste take him to Dog Yoga. It's yoga for dogs.
Dog Yoga.
For more, see dogyoga.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Right then, we're looking ahead to this weekend's Premier League action against Watford, and I'm going to talk through a tube for a minute. Hello, one sec, here we go.
Now I'm talking through a tube, and I'm not making my voice any different at all.
Yeah, it's just what happens when you talk into a tube. You can't talk normally into a tube. The minute you put the tube up, your voice goes a little bit funny like this. So, I won't talk into the tube anymore. But we're playing Watford, and they beat us a few weeks ago, which makes them wankers in my eyes. You know, just that's because I'm a small, petty, holdy-grudgy kind of guy. I mean, it wasn't really their fault that they won. I mean, that guy could have not smashed it into the top corner if he'd been considerate enough, but, you know, I could see why he wanted to do that. And mostly it was down to us not being very good on the day. And that's why we're hoping that this Everton game, this slightly new system that we've got, will work again. That would be good. It would be terrible if that was just like a flash in the pan. That would be really upsetting. We've been through enough this season. Come on. Sort it out. 3 p.m. kickoff. And as we said earlier, a bit of team news. Well, I don't know that anybody's back for the weekend. Petr Cech was supposed to be, but Arsene Wenger said he's going back to normal training. It's too early to say if he'll be available for the weekend. He might be a bit short to be competitive. No, he's talking about Cech and not David Ospina. That's right. So we'll wait and see if Ospina is in any shape to play. He got battered. He got beaten up in every game that he played for Colombia during the international break. Every 10 minutes he had to get treatment. He lay on the ground for a while. First his back, his shoulders, his thighs, his shins. His gooch. He's got a bruised gooch, which very much affects your goal kicking. So we'll have to wait and see if he can do any of that. But like we said, we're looking for a miracle. We're looking to win 8 games. We're looking for other teams to do bad things to themselves and to each other, I guess, is what we're looking for. But all we can do is win our own games, and that starts tomorrow against Watford. So what else is there to say about it other than just fucking win? Like, don't lose, don't draw, win. That's some deep-thinking strategic tactical analysis right there. Yeah, invert that fucking pyramid, motherfuckers. So I don't know what else to say other than thank you, as always, for listening. Much appreciated. If you want to leave us a rating or a review on iTunes, that would be great too. We were number one on iTunes a couple of weeks ago. That was cool. Thanks a million. Really appreciate that. All the downloads. Tell your friends. If you've got friends that are Arsenal fans that don't listen to this podcast, enrich their lives by telling them all about it. Give them a gift-wrapped Arsecast. Sounds worse than it actually is. You know, we'll be here on Monday, James and I, to look back at the weekend's action, to look at what happens against Watford with the Arsecast Extra on Monday. I'll be back next Friday with another Arsecast. And, you know, until then, have a great weekend. And let's hope Arsenal can, you know, win and shit. Catch you next time. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.